Right. This is Emily Hopkins interviewing Mrs. Dorothy Bolton. This is the second part of our interview on November 14, 2012, at 1909 County Highway 16 in Burlington Flats, New York. So, Mrs. Bolton, we are talking a little bit about farming and your farm experience. I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit more about the differences between the smaller farms in this area versus the larger farms.
Yeah, those smaller farms were definitely what we were on, and we did not have anything to start with. We had to buy the farm and what machinery that came with it, and then buy the machinery. And because we weren't given money to start in, it was all because our parents were regular farmers, but they did not have the money. They all had lots of kids, most of them. The poorer farmers had more kids for some reason or other, and so money wasn't as plentiful. But we made out just fine, but we always had to borrow money anytime that we needed equipment or if we got new cows. And I remember at one time we thought we were doing pretty well, but then the people that we bought the farm from, we were paying them monthly, decided they wanted their money, all wanted their money, wanted to be paid off. So in order to pay them off, we had to sell all of our cows, and we sold our car and got an old car, a wreck of a car, so we could pay them off. So then we found a cattle dealer who would, you know, give us all the cows we needed, and then we paid him monthly for the cows. And the old car that we bought had gasket blew on that, so then we had to buy a different car. But things were not easy. They were sort of tough to just get by. But then there were other farmers around that had more money. Maybe they knew how to invest. Maybe they had money to help start. But we just didn't seem to be one of the lucky ones. We made out. We made fine. We all survived. We all had a great life. But there were farmers that weren't as poor farmers as... There were poor farmers. There were farmers that had more. And there were farmers that were able to get larger, which is great. But we just weren't one of those farmers. We kept the same amount of land and same amount of cattle. And so we survived and retired and passed the farm on to one of the boys in the family. And I'm sure that's what happens to the big farmers also. But I do think that they sometimes have money to invest, so therefore they are more well off than we were. But it's a hard life. It's a very hard life. Even whether you have more or if you have less, there's still the same amount of work to do. And it's a hard life. But a good life. I don't think very many of the farmers get divorced around here. I think they work together, and so they live more happily than these people that have more. And I don't know. But anyway, that's about some of that.
When you say that you think they're happier, how do you mean?
They get along. They have to work together. Whereas I think, I don't know, but I really seriously think there are much fewer divorces. I think families get along better because they work together. They have to work together. The wives help on the farm when they can. I know on the bigger farms, I know some of the women that go out and take down statistics about how much milk this cow is giving or not, because they keep records of, you know, and we never kept records of how much milk each cow gave because we didn't have the money to sell one off and get a new one if they did poorly. We kept the same cows until they didn't give milk anymore, and then we'd send them to sale. But no, it's I think people get along much better on the farm. I really think they're happier in the end. They work together, and kids work when they need to. And that's a farmer's life, I guess.
Do you feel like there's a sense of partnership between?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. The husband couldn't do it without the wife. And Lord knows the wife couldn't do the farm without the husband. But sometimes the wife had to work out to make ends meet. You just had to have more money to make ends meet. I know in our case, the feed bill sort of got ahead of us. And we said, how are we going to get the feed bill paid? Because we weren't paying it all each month. So I went to work, and that little bit that I got paid that feed bill, and so I just kept working. And I'm mighty glad I did now because of the benefits that I get from working.
If it hadn't been for that feed bill, do you think you would have...
I don't know if I'd ever went to work or not, because I was happy with not working. Mm-hmm. But I had a good job. I worked with good people, and, you know, I liked my job. I always liked my job. And the kids that I had outside playground, or they'll come up to me, Mrs. Bolton, how are you? I remember you way back in school. I was just to a restaurant the other night, and a gal came up and she said, Mrs. Bolton, do you remember me? And I said, yes, I do. I said, can't remember which one. There were quite a few of you. I said, you're a Kearney, but I can't remember your first name. I don't know if you're Teresa or Pam. And she said, Mrs. Bolton, you do remember me. Well, I said, almost. And it is nice that they still remember me, and most of them as being okay, not being an old meanie on the playground or like that. So it is, I still enjoy parts of when I did work at school, because the kids will come up. Like, I hadn't seen her probably since I left school. Lord knows I retired in 1990. That was a long time ago. And it's a good feeling to have a lot of people remember you and come up and say, oh, how are you? You haven't changed at all. And they lie a lot, too. But when I went to vote the other day, there was a gal, just as I was going in, she came out, and she came up and gave me a hug. And she said, hey, do you remember me? And I said, yes. And so, of course, I said her maiden name. And we had a nice conversation. And I was so pleased. She said, I'm going back to college again. And I said, for what? She says, there's so many troubled people in this world. I want to be a mentor. I want to help drug kids and addicted people. I want to work in the addiction program. And I thought, great, you know. And she says, I remember you so well. I said, thank you, I remember you too. But so I enjoyed my job. It's harder working when you have a family, but, oh, I know. People nowadays, my grandchildren, they both have to work and they have a little child, and it's rough. It's hard, because you can do so much more with your family if you don't work. But
What were some of the major challenges for you?
Would you say?
What were some of the major challenges for you?
Well, for me, I was very lucky because I was out of school. Or I was in school, so I could take the time. They would let me take the time, if it wasn't in the middle of feeding kids, to go to a program the kids had at school or not. I was very fortunate because I worked where I did, and the hours that I worked gave me time to do things. So I was very fortunate.
Were there parts of your job you didn't enjoy when you were working in
the schools? Oh, yeah, sometimes you'd get a little annoyed with the teacher, but... I don't know if I ever... Oh, yeah, you'd get annoyed with the kids now and then. You'd have to holler a couple, three times to make them mind, especially on the playground. They'd get a little bit rough. Mm-hmm. But, no, as a general rule, I liked my job. So, and I worked 32 years. I worked till I was 62. So,
How did people view women who... had to go and work outside the home or outside the farm?
I don't think they thought anything about it, you know. And I think even the people that didn't work all the time would sometimes have a part-time job for a while. But I am mighty glad I work now because of the benefits, you know, that you received after working 32 years, a monthly check, you know. That comes in mighty handy along with a Social Security check. Mm-hmm. But, and my daughter and I, now that she is home and she just retired, we can go to visit relatives that live away. And do things we want to do, and we get along so well that I'm very happy living here with her.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to go back to something you talked about earlier when we were talking about your experience living on a farm and everything. How did y'all go about dividing up supplies and making sure everybody had what they needed, even though y'all kind of had some harder time making ends meet at times?
Oh, you just did. You got what they needed when they school time. You went and got it. You saved money and you got it. And I think the only time we ever had any problem at all is the feed bill got ahead of us. Once a bill gets ahead of you, it's hard to get caught up, and that's why I went to work, because then when I went to work, even though it wasn't a huge salary, because I only worked 10 months until I got to be secretary, and so that amount of money just helped, and we were always able to give presents to the kids. You know, we were doing fine. And if you were able to pay your bills and get presents for your kids for Easter and Christmas and have what you wanted to do, go what you want, where you wanted to go, I guess. But we never went anywhere. My husband wasn't much of a traveler. He didn't want to go on an airplane. He didn't want to go on a boat. So the only place we went was with a car, and we never went very far at that. But, no, he's not one that wanted to travel. And so we were homebodies. But he played softball. There was boys that played softball, and they had, even when they were young adults, they had softball leagues, and we would take our picnic lunch, you know, our sandwiches and like that for lunch, and watch them play ball, and the kids could play around there, and that was probably one of the main things that we did, was went to softball games. But we'd go to Gilbert Lake in the summer over there and do things like that. We never traveled far, but we didn't need to. There was enough things around here to do. But no, I feel that we were well to do. I mean, not well to do, but we were fine. And I wouldn't have traded my life for anything else.
What you mentioned, that you always had plenty to do. That wasn't necessarily farming. Mm-hmm. So what were some of the other type of things y'all did for recreation?
I don't know if we did much else. Went to softball games while he played softball. And we'd go to the beach. Oh, we always went to the Morris Fair. We always took the kids to the local Morris Fair, because that was always a yearly event that everybody local always went. And I don't remember where else much we did go when the kids were little, except to the beaches around here, where you went to the beach and the kids would swim and you'd take a picnic lunch and the fair.
Was the fair like a really big event that everybody in the county went to?
Yeah, it was a big event for this area. Because it was the only one in the county. It was down to Morris. And my kids had raised roosters and chickens, and they took them to the fair to be judged, and they got ribbons, blue ribbons for it. But, they did things like that. And I don't think they ever took vegetables, but I know they always took chickens. Rhode Island Red and Plymouth Rocks. I can't even remember the names of the kind of chickens, but they'd take pride in that, raise those, and then they'd take them down. And that was their excuse to have to go down every day to feed the chickens, so they'd get to go down to the fair. Mm. But I remember that we went to the fair once when I was a young girl. Dad had gotten a bigger car, and it had a little seat that tipped out. It was like a footstool, I remember, but I just barely remember, but it tipped out from the back seat because there were quite a few of us. And we'd go down for the day. We'd take our own lunch, go back to the car at noon for lunch, and we'd get so much money to ride on the merry-go-round or Ferris wheel or like that. And then there was always something going on in front of the grandstand. And we'd have one day that our parents took us to the fair. And that was what I did as a youngster. And my kids always also went to the fair and to the beaches. Roller skating, the kids used to go roller skating right over to West Burlington, and that's no more. There's no more things around here that there used to be. That's one thing that is for the worst. Most places, they have a lot of things for people to do, but around here, there's nothing for young people to do, like my grandchildren that are coming up. There's no roller skating rink close by. We had one in West Burlington and Canadrago Lake, a big one. And at that time, when I was dating my husband and afterwards, there were big bands that would come. Vaughn Monroe, Count Basie.
Oh, wow.
I can't remember all of them that would come. And that's one thing that he and I would do is go to these dances. And we enjoyed that. But they don't have any of those around here anymore. You have to go way to Utica, Syracuse, I don't know where. But roller skating was a big thing. They had movies at one time in Edmiston. The first movie I ever saw was a Shirley Temple movie when I was in probably late grades, 7th or 8th grade maybe. But there's no theater in Edmiston. There's nothing in Edmiston anymore. There's nothing in West Burlington. There's nothing for young people to do unless they go to Oneonta or Utica. You know, it's times have changed considerably, and not always for the best.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think there has been that major change where those kind of things don't
probably
happen
economy. Probably they didn't get enough people to make as much money as they wanted to make. I really don't know, but I figured it has to be that. Of course, you can roller skate in Oneonta. That's the closest place, but that's 30 miles away. Mm-hmm. But I'm just thinking the things we used to do compared to now. It's not always, the bigger isn't always better. I can remember even when Elaine Ball, who lived on the corner next to me one night, she said, let's go to the roller skate to West Burlington. I said, well, how are we going to get there? She said, well, we can walk. We'll always get a ride back. Somebody will be coming back through. I said, well, I hope so. It's after dark then, and I didn't like the dark. But I remember we walked to West Burlington one night with we rented roller skates. I think it was only $1 to rent roller skates. And roller skate, we did get a ride home. But, you know, that would be so nice for the kids nowadays if there are things like that to do, and there isn't.
So but, y'all could just get a ride home when y'all would go places?
Well, or? We always hoped we did. We didn't go many times, but we mm-hmm. did. I remember the one night we did go. Elaine said, come on. No, I'm sorry, I don't like the dark, so I still don't care for the dark. Mm-hmm. But we had fun. Even though we didn't do much, we had fun. We used to play on the Four Corners. The roads were dirt road. Route 80 was a dirt road. County Route 16 was the dirt road. So we would play on the Four Corners in front of the store, kick the can or tag or hide and seek out in the, you know, when we were probably freshmen, sophomores. Play outside. You don't see kids playing outside anymore. They are afraid of what might happen. Somebody might kidnap somebody. It's too dangerous to let your kids loose.
Yeah. A lot, well, you mentioned that things have kind of changed for the worst, or in some ways they have. What are some other?
Things for the better, but, you know, people don't dare let their kids even go in the store. They have to keep their eye on them all the time, just the little kids, just in case somebody might try to grab them. Well, that was never heard of back in the days. Nobody would kidnap anybody, and now some people are so sick, I guess is the word. But I know I wouldn't, this day and age, take one of my grandchildren. I'd have my hand on them all the time in a store, in a big store, or even if I went to the beach, I'd have to have my eye on them all the time. And you'd never had to worry about things like that happening way back. So that's not for the good. Too many sick people now. And I think that's due to drugs mostly. Mm-hmm.
wanted to switch gears a little bit. You were telling me during our break about sledding and things like that that you did. Could you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, we had great times. It was dirt road, as I said. Route 80 was a dirt road, and we'd all get together. And some of the guys were older, quite a bit older, and you had what was known as bobsleds. And we'd go up to the top of one hill, and when we'd ride right straight down across the four corners down to the hollow as far as we could, then we'd take the sled bobs up to the top of the other hill. And always somebody would stand on the four corners just in case a car would come from north or south and stop them. But there weren't that many cars back then. And when we rode down the hill on the top of Briar Hill, way up, that's a few miles away, but we walked quite a bit, the teacher would come that taught in the Briar Hill School District, and she would have hot chocolate. And if we wanted to play some games before we went back out to slide some more. And we spent a good many nights when the snow was on the road, because the snow didn't melt. They didn't sand it, because so we were able to ride down the hills because it was just dirt road underneath. And when there was snow, it was good for sliding downhill. And we had a lot of fun doing that. And that was free. And parents didn't care if you did it, as long as somebody watched the four corners to be sure to stop a car in case the car was coming, because we'd go way up to the top, up to the rock cut. And it would go right straight down across the four corners, zippity-split right down, and you'd end up over partway up the next hill, and you'd climb the next hill and go. But I don't know. I don't know if kids would do that nowadays if they had the chance. They don't know what they were missing, but we had so much fun doing that. Free, cheap, easy. But my brother did get hurt really bad. He fell off the sled, or bobs, when it was going. He hit a stone. And he sort of split the top of his head open. And we had to have the doctor come right to the house. And I know he had his head wrapped up in a gauze. He couldn't leave the house. He had to be perfectly still for a long time, for probably, I think, 2 or 3 months, Donald. And but he came out of it okay. But man, the oldest person there was probably 30 some, and he was the one that, you know, got him to the house safely and got the call the doctor and got him there. But he split his head. He hit a rock and he split his head. Now that sounds weird, but he did. They wrapped his head. They had his head completely wrapped for probably 3 months for it to heal. So you could have accidents, even but this bobsled said hit something and tipped, and he went flying, and he was hurt. So you could get hurt, but most generally we had great times. Mm-hmm. But it could be unsafe too. But I know we did that, and sometimes we would just have parties at the different schoolhouses. The teachers would have, you know, games. I can't remember what kind of board games and like that. They'd open the schoolhouse up at night and have a little wood fire. And we could go and play games, which was nice, because kids from the other schools would come. There were quite a few little schools around here. There was one Briar Hill, one right up here above where we live, and there was one up going to, I don't remember the name of it, but going out of town north. I can't remember what the name of that schoolhouse was, but there was 1, 2, 3 schoolhouses, well, in one Garrettsville. So there was 3, 4 little local schoolhouses quite close together that we would plan different events together. So that was another thing we did when we were young. I can't remember what else. I know when I was young, I would go to the neighbor's, Lila Telfer's, over on the corner opposite the store. They moved down from a farm way up on the hill, and she loved to play flinch and like that. Her father, she lived with her father. He was old, and he was a little bit on the cranky side with spells, and I was sort of afraid sometimes to go over there, but Lila says, come on, he really doesn't mind. He's just sort of cranky. Well, he was sort of cranky, but I went over there and I learned how to play a lot of card games. And when they moved down from up on the hill, it amazed me. They said, the sheep are coming. And I said, what sheep? Well, they owned a sheep way up on the hill, and it was probably 2 miles. They drove them down the road. It was a dirt road. Sheep, they were driving down the road, down and put them in a barn behind the house right there in the village. And to see sheep coming down the road herding them like cows was amazing to me, because I was a little girl then. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was the biggest event of the year, having sheep come down the road. But they moved the sheep down that way when they moved down from up on the hill. But as a little girl, I had, there was a couple, three places right in the village that I used to go. I'd go play cards with Lila, and then I'd go over to Scott's that lived behind the church. They didn't have any children, and she would usually make cookies or something, so I would stay over there where she made cookies. And I remember the first doll I ever got for Christmas, she gave me a little doll. And then another lady on the other corner, she never married, so she loved to have company. And so they all had me come for company and always gave me homemade cookies. So so that was a nice memory of what I did when I was little.
You mentioned your brother split his head when he was sledding. Did that really affect the work on the farm, or how did y'all have to make up for that?
Mom never worked on the farm. She always just did the work, canning and all of that in the house. So she was always at home. So, but it was scary because, it was a nasty cut. But, and that's what they said, it split his head. Well, I don't know how anybody could split their head and still live. I mean, in this day and age, you'd have antibiotics and everything else, and I don't know what they put on his head for. They wrapped it all up. But they said, don't take it off. They wrapped it tight as, you know, and it was tight for 3 months. When he is, I don't know if he was over 9 or 10. I don't remember. But that was scary. That was the only thing that I remember ever happened bad, that was a bad experience. But I had, when I was a little girl, you know, I was to the neighbors a lot. Because they liked company, because they didn't have children, so I have a good life.
Yeah. How far away was the doctor?
In Edmiston, about 7 miles away. And I don't recall. I know he came to the house, because back then doctors made calls. But, and it was at night. That's when we usually sit downhill, was at night. And, you know, I do not remember, you know, I just remember that he did it, and I remember he had this, his head was wrapped, you know, really tight for a long time. But if you'd asked me maybe 10, 15 years ago, I might have remembered a little more about it. But I honestly do not remember as well as I used to.
Well, how did y'all get medical attention if anybody was sick or...
Usually
something
the
like
doctor
that.
Came because I woke up one night in the middle of the night and I couldn't move. I had acute appendicitis, and the doctor came to the house, and my folks had to take me right to the hospital. And I had I was in the hospital 3 weeks because they had ruptured. And so, you know, the doctor came right to the house at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. So they were, you know, very good doctor. Armstead, no, it was before him, Dr. Bishop. No, he was from Garrettsville, I don't know. But we had different local doctors. We had one in Garrettsville, too. But I know we about always had the doctor from Edmiston. And they would come in the middle of the night. I do know that we weren't able to go to the dentist. We, you know, my folks just didn't have the money for all of us to go to the dentist, so we had very poor teeth and most of us had to have our teeth pulled and false teeth before we were very old, you know, probably in high school. I know I had to, but they didn't have the money. So we went to the dentist when our tooth ached so we couldn't take anymore. They'd go and they'd get it pulled. So, and nowadays it's unheard of that nobody doesn't go to the dentist, but that's one thing we didn't do. We always were always, if we needed a doctor, we always had the doctor. But that was one thing I guess they felt that wasn't important, you know? But when we had a bad toothache, they would take us right to the dentist right away so we wouldn't hurt.
How did other families deal with
dental
problems?
I don't know if people, you know, way back then, if other people took their kids to the dentist regularly or not. Now I think about everybody does, but you know, I don't know if even the people that